Hey gang, good to see you this evening. It's always great to be with you guys. What a privilege it is to be able to be get together like this each week. Welcome to our Wednesday night rewind. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's seek the Lord before we begin this evening. Father, may you bless us as we delve into your word and find the application for it into our practical lives. And then we don't just live some sort of hyper-spiritual Sunday go-to-meeting faith, but a real dynamic and radical living that is given out each and every day in our own personal mission fields. Wherever you have planted us, may we grow and reproduce. And we thank you for the opportunity to do just that. We praise your name. Amen. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this week, and in this chapter it seems that Paul was getting rather close to wrapping it all up here in the Corinthian church. Clearly, we read his letter, it seems that he didn't want to leave anything unsaid. But it was left to be seen whether all that he had said in the first and his second letter would manage to find its way into the hearts and into the spirits of the individuals that were in that church. I mean, after all, we know, those of you that have been here with us, we know that there was clearly some hard hearts there. And bitter spirits, you see, they are invariably contagious. Left untreated, you will always end up finding yourself with a spiritual pandemic. Now, clearly the odds were stacked against Paul. I guess maybe they really are for all pastors, especially those who innately lean towards truth-telling. After all, truth is not really a sought-after commodity these days. I mean, if you don't pat people on the head and tell them everything is okay and that they're really a great person, you could potentially be working yourself out of a job. And I say job specifically because if I'm called, that is irrevocable. That is eternal. Now, someone might be able to take away your job just as they might have taken away Paul's job, but they can't take away your calling unless you let them. After all, God isn't, I don't know, randomly picking these positions of calling that he delves out like numbers at a, you know, that he's pulling out of a bingo cage. You know, like B52, you get to be a pastor. I mean, that's not the way God's working. In fact, Romans 11:29 tells us clearly that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. So if you're saying God revoked that, you got a problem with Scripture. So the reality is Romans 11:29 is a fact, or it's not. And if it's not true, then let's face it, we all can pack it in tonight and go home, because I guess all this Christian thing would just simply be bogus then. Now, as we spoke on Sunday, Paul's issue with the Corinthians. Hey gang, good to see you this evening. It's always great to be with you guys. What a privilege it is to be able to be get together like this each week. Welcome to our Wednesday night rewind. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's seek the Lord before we begin this evening. Father, may you bless us as we delve into your word and find the application for it into our practical lives. And that we don't just live some sort of hyper-spiritual Sunday go-to-meeting faith, but a real dynamic and radical living that is given out each and every day in our own personal mission fields. Wherever you have planted us, may we grow and reproduce. And we thank you for the opportunity to do just that. We praise your name. Amen. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this week, and in this chapter, it seems that Paul was
getting rather close to wrapping it all up here in the Corinthian church. Clearly, we read his letter, it seems that he didn't want to leave anything unsaid. But it was left to be seen whether all that he had said in the first and his second letter would manage to find its way into the hearts and into the spirits of the individuals that were in that church. I mean, after all, we know, those of you that have been here with us, we know that there was clearly some hard hearts there. And bitter spirits, you see, they are invariably contagious. Left untreated, you will always end up finding yourself with a spiritual pandemic. Now, clearly the odds were stacked against Paul. I guess maybe they really are for all pastors, especially those who innately lean towards truth-telling. After all, truth is not really a sought-after commodity these days. I mean, if you don't pat people on the head and tell them everything is okay and that they're really a great person, you could potentially be working yourself out of a job. And I say job specifically because if I'm called, that is irrevocable. That is eternal. Now, someone might be able to take away your job just as they might have taken away Paul's job, but they can't take away your calling unless you let them. After all, God isn't, I don't know, randomly picking these positions of calling that he delves out like numbers at a, you know, that he's pulling out of a bingo cage. You know, like B-52, you get to be a pastor. I mean, that's not the way God's working. In fact, Romans 11:29 tells us clearly that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. So if you're saying God revoked that, you got a problem with Scripture. So the reality is Romans 11:29 is a fact, or it's not. And if it's not true, then let's face it, we all can pack it in tonight and go home, because I guess all this Christian thing would just simply be bogus then. Now, as we spoke on Sunday, Paul's issue with the Corinthian church, while certainly a broad brush, I admit, it was an issue of entrenched pride. That's what we see throughout both of these letters, all the way. Now, I say entrenched because there must be an acknowledgement that with mankind, if we are left to ourselves, there will always be, we always will be eventually consumed by our pride. I mean, certainly if you just look in the news, look out into the world today, you see evidence of that. You see, that's our default lifestyle, if you will. After all, pride is quite simply involved in every sin we commit, is involved in every hurt we mete out. It is the downfall of man. It is the cancer which steals the lives of millions of individuals and then takes their eternity like the icing on the cake. It all takes us to that place where, as my daddy used to say to me as a kid, where we shoot off our foot to spite our face. We, I guess, become a black hole in space that's closing in on itself. It's a malady that no one survives. And pride never stays static. It always grows if left unchecked. Now, Paul the Apostle here and acknowledges that in truth, and we in our day know this to be a fact, absolutely, that he had plenty to be prideful over. I mean, anyone who knows Paul's history knows that. He had the background, he had the bloodline, he had the education, he had the street cred. Not to mention, he had the spiritual experiences throughout his ministry, which could have, at a minimum, given him some bragging rights. But Paul was simply going to live in the moment when it came to his street cred. He was going to live in the moment as far as his social rep was concerned. In other words, Paul's attitude was one of what you see is what you get. Paul, he wanted to be known by his character. He wanted to be known by the fruit of his life. The qualities others saw in him and heard from him every day of his life. You see, with Paul, he was living a transparent life, and it was a transparent life by design. He wanted to be judged by that, not by something that had happened in the past or years before. Besides his seeming commitment to sincere and honest living of his life, Paul also had to contend with what he openly describes herein as a thorn in his flesh. Now, as we discussed on Sunday, we do not know exactly what this issue was, practically speaking. It would be merely conjecture, and Lord knows there's plenty of conjecture as to what that was. But again, as we talked on Sundays, what's important for us is the word translated thorn actually in the original is tent stake. Tent stake. Therefore, this problem that Paul is speaking about here was by no means merely a social splinter or an uncomfortable pebble in his shoe. Now, this is a truly amazing thing to witness. It's an amazing thing to see how some folks in our day can endure such struggles and endure such battles, yes, even great pain, while the very next guy will melt into a puddle because the wind messed up his hair. Because we have to know that this was not just simply a bad hair day for Paul. Whatever the issue was, this was bringing Paul to his knees. Now, it wasn't an issue for Paul that would cause him to throw in the towel ministerially, and we need to know that. Could have been. I think it would have been for many of us, but it wasn't for Paul. But instead, it caused a deep connection to Christ. And with all of us that are in the ministry, we reach these issues in our lives, and each and every one of them is either going to cause us to throw in the towel and head it on back home, or it's going to cause us to find an all-day-long white-knuckled grip on the Spirit of God so that we might maintain the calling that He has placed on our lives. You see, in order to keep going, that's what we got to have. Christ put Paul in that situation, and on varying degrees puts all of us in those same situations in this walk we are all on with Christ. Because please notice, Paul the Apostle did indeed keep going. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was speaking concerning difficult times. He was prophesying concerning the way things were going to be as we march towards the end days. And in that passage, he said this. He said, "Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people." He goes on and says, "Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." And then lastly, he says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Sin will be rampant everywhere, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, you know, it's funny, because I bet for some of you, this is the first time you've ever actually heard that passage, because, you know, we just don't hear a lot of preaching on that passage these days, do we? We hear a lot of preaching on grace, and that's cool. I love hearing preaching on grace. We hear preaching on how Jesus loves us, and that too is an awesome thing, how we should love each other. These are all good and valid topics of preaching, but we don't hear the issue of liars leading people to destruction. We don't hear a lot of preaching on this whole Jesus thing. Yes, even our callings from him. And that it doesn't mean really much of anything if we don't make it to the end. Paul still had it going on, didn't he? Despite his tent stake. Now, from what I know of Paul, I got to believe that his tenacity and his hard-headed personality no doubt played into his continuance and into his faithfulness. But ultimately, what kept him standing, what got him to the finish line, was the Spirit of God that held him up and kept him going. And the sooner one finds that out, the sooner one realizes that, the sooner that one acknowledges that, the better off we are. That was the whole point of this record that's before us here. Bottom line? Well, the bottom line was God made sure that Paul would not be able to be prideful. It seems clear enough, or at least in the long run, that God put Paul in an either-or scenario. An either-or scenario. A scenario where you get to be prideful, or you get to serve the Lord as a shepherd, but not both. Paul didn't deny that he was capable of being arrogant. In fact, he acknowledged quite the opposite. So much so that he acknowledged that God needed to put the screws to him on some level in order to keep him walking that straight and narrow. Moreover, in order to have the scenario in which to use him in the kingdom pursuits, Paul needed this thorn in the flesh. These issues that Paul is rather unintentionally throwing out here into the middle of the room, this now elephant in the room. I mean, rarely do we deal with these issues in the greater church today. And even more than that, it's even rarer in the actual accepted practice of Christian living. We don't talk about this kind of thing. I mean, somehow, though, when I read it, I mean, I may be reading some tone here, but from where I am, I read this and it seems important. It seems kind of important. The rejection of God's overt oversight and the control of our actual living and realize, hear me now, doing that is ultimately saying no to Christ. There's no other way to read that, gang. Ultimately, it's saying no to discipleship. Ultimately, and finally, and again, no other way to read this, gang, it's actually saying no to salvation. We want it both ways, don't we? We want to keep our lives and get salvation. We want to go to heaven and live like hell. We want to be in control of our lives, but still be a child of God. No matter how much a person goes to church, no matter how involved in religion that we could be, Christ is clear on this. We are being called by Jesus tonight. As Bonhoeffer once remarked, we are being called to come and die. Paul has gone so far in this passage, rather incredulously, actually, he has gone so far as to say he takes pleasure in his infirmities. Now, I openly admit tonight, I'm still learning that art form. But the bar has been set. The mark has been called, albeit higher than most of us want to try to reach in our life. But for Paul, faith, the answer of God's grace, faith, means complete dependence on Jesus Christ. That is the living of faith. That is the receiving of grace. The idea isn't that we purposely seek out pain tonight. Please don't misunderstand me. But rather, we are, through God's grace, able to rise above pain that is inevitably coming. Guys, this is a reality in our Christian lives. It's something that each and every one of us is going to experience in our lifetime. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be pain. There's going to be testing. If we aren't ready now, filled with the Holy Spirit, prepared for that inevitable day, we won't make it. And we won't finish to the end. Those of you here in Dunn County, we really pray that as you go into these small groups now, that you're able to have these discussions and you'll be able to open your hearts and receive all that God would have you to receive in these matters. Because this is a big one. Maybe I say that a lot. I'm partial to the word. But I pray that you be open and honest as you move into these discussions. And God bless, gang. We will see you again on Sunday.